people. A lot of people got bad, bad trouble. But boy, I'm glad we're in church. I'm glad you're here. And you all can already feel a different spirit in here than it was last Sunday morning. The devil was, boy, he fought us last Sunday. But we prayed him out this week and pled the blood over this place. And so we're going to have a good spirit in here this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. While you turn into that, let me remind you of our dinner Wednesday night. You can bring visitors. They do not have to go to our church. You bring everybody you can bring. We usually have lost people come to this thing, and it's a good chance to witness to them. So be sure and do that. Wednesday night, come hungry. Don't eat nothing all day Wednesday. Come hungry. And be ready to go eat with us. This is our Christmas banquet. They have chicken. They have Salisbury steak. They have regular sirloin steak. They have shrimp. I'll get them to fix us the fish. And they have rice and gravy and green beans and corn and cornbread and rolls and salad and baked potatoes and everything. So if you can't find something you like or you ain't hungry. So don't forget that and go with us Wednesday night. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter number 2. All right, here we go, kids. Here we go. This is it. The most important 30 minutes of the week is right now. This ain't no time to be talking, no time to be looking at cell phones or worrying what you're going to do after a while. This is the most important time of your week. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Bible said in verse 1, those men were wise men and they came seeking Jesus. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, wise men still to this day seek him. Wise men still seek him. There's a lot of talk today about how wise people are. These men were called wise by the Holy Spirit. I sure hope the Lord would call me a wise man. I don't want the Lord to call me a fool. The Lord calls a lot of people fools. Over 50 times in the Bible, people are called fools. But these men are called wise men. It didn't say they were wise because they invented the atomic bomb. It didn't say they were wise because they figured out a cure for a disease. It didn't say they were wise because they invented something. It said they were wise because they sought the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's true this morning. In this modern day that you and I live in, it's still true that wise men seek Him. There is no such thing as a wise person that does not seek Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are educated. And somehow we substitute education with wisdom in our generation. But the truth is, wisdom has nothing to do with education. Wisdom has nothing to do with education. You can be extremely educated and not be wise. You can be very wise and uneducated as far as the world goes. Let me illustrate. A chainsaw this morning would represent knowledge. Let's say it has the power it can do. There's a lot of stuff, power, in a chainsaw. But a chainsaw can do nothing right by itself. A lot of these men in here know how to operate chainsaws. Andy, Brother Danny over there, Junior, these guys, Andy, all these guys know how to operate chainsaws. So if you take the chainsaw, you can cut a tree down and lay it right there and cut it up little sticks of wood. It's very beneficial. So the chainsaw would represent knowledge. Wisdom is how to use it. Wisdom is how to use your knowledge. Now, a chainsaw with no knowledge or wisdom can be a very destructive thing. You can just swing around here, cut the walls down, tear up stuff, kill people. That's knowledge without wisdom. So if a man don't know how to use his knowledge, it's a destructive thing. It's no good. So that's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing about stuff. Wisdom is knowing how to use it, how to use the knowledge you've acquired. So the Bible said, these are wise men that seek Jesus. Let me say first of all this morning, they are wise. People are wise who seek Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, that we're to seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You are not wasting your time coming to church. You have never wasted one moment reading your Bible. You have never wasted an ounce of time by getting on your knees and saying, Lord, would you help me today? You're a wise person if you seek the Lord. You know, I've prayed ever since I've been saved. I pray all the time. I pray driving down the road. I pray while I'm working. I pray while I'm playing. I pray while I'm sleeping. Many times I just say, Lord, help me, oh Lord, help me. You know why? Because that Bible said, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek His face continually. Seek His face continually. You kids that go to school, it would be a very wise thing while you're sitting in school. Lord, help me today. Lord, help me. Help me to do right. Help me on this test, Lord. If you don't, I'm a goner. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. You know, help me here. And there's nothing wrong with seeking the Lord. While you're at work, seek the Lord. While you're just on your job, seek the Lord. There are wise who seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember hearing a story about this man. He was an old drunk, and he woke up one morning. He staggered down and went to sleep in somebody's barn and passed out. And the next day, he woke up, and he was starving to death, and he heard Christmas bells ringing. You know, I don't know if I got my bell here or not. You know how they'll, there it is. You know how they'll stand out in front of a shopping center? You know, I thought about doing this before Christmas time. I think I'm going to. I thought about it yesterday. I thought I'm going to go down there and stand up and have me a handful of trash and go like that in front of Walmart. And when people say, you know, give them, tell them about Jesus. Amen. I mean, if they can do it, we can do it. And I'm going to go down there and hold me up a little sign that says, homeless will preach for food or something like that. But anyway, I'm going to do that. Go down there in front of Walmart. That's what he heard. He heard them Christmas bells a-ringing. And he heard them bells a-ringing. And the story said that he heard them. And he started going toward them bells ringing. He started headed toward that way. And he started moving that direction. And it was a Christmas get-together. And people were singing. And he started listening to the singing. Got under conviction. God spoke to his heart. And he got saved. He's a wise because he sought the Lord. The wisest thing you could ever do in your life is come to Jesus Christ and get saved. Amen? When we come up here and we have prayer meeting on Saturday night, we are seeking the Lord. When you pray, you are seeking the Lord. You are seeking the Lord. Every time you read the Bible, you are saying, God, speak to me. Every time you pray, you're saying, God, help me. Every time you come to church, you're saying, God, I want to find you. And I want to tell you this morning, He's here. Did you hear me? The Lord is here in this place. I felt His presence a while ago when the choir was singing. I feel His Spirit right now. I feel like God just wanting to come down on this church this morning and bless somebody real good if you'll just let Him. You just forget about next week. Forget about your problems back at the house. Forget about your bills you got to pay tomorrow. And just open up your heart and say, Lord, do something for me. Let's seek Him this morning. Seek Him. You're wise. Not only that, number two, they are wise men who seek to know God's Word. They're wise men who seek to know God's Word. I'm telling you this morning, if you have a desire to know God's Word, you are a wise person. The Bible is a wealth of information right in your lap. And it's a history book, it's a science book, it's a math book, it's a prophecy book, it's everything. The Bible is a wealth of knowledge. It is a disgrace and a shame how little most people read the Bible. Most people that go to church don't even read it, let alone people that don't go. I'm telling you, we got a lot of folks in our church that read the Bible. You'd be surprised what's in that Bible. When you get in it and start reading, it blew my mind When I was 18 years old, I started reading the Bible, and things started opening up, and I thought, well, that's why this. That's why I read them Proverbs. I couldn't believe how up-to-date it was. I read the Psalms. I couldn't believe how it related to what I felt and what I was going through. It's amazing. That Bible is a practical book. It speaks to us on an everyday basis. Whatever you're going through this morning, there's verses and illustrations in there for just exactly what you're going through. This is the best book on marriage counseling in the world. There is no other book that will help your marriage like what this book is right here. As a matter of fact, if husband and wife will do exactly what that says, there'll never be a marriage fail. Never, ever, ever. I'm telling you this morning, you're a wise person if you'll get your nose in this book. Now, I know what a lot of you do. You get up first thing every morning. First thing you do is turn that TV on. You say, well, Brother Danny, something might have happened in the middle of the night, and I want to know the news. Well, you know what that is? That's a bad habit. The first thing you need to do is put your nose in that book. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with watching the news. I do it sometimes in the morning. I felt the earthquake. How many in here felt the earthquake Friday morning? Me and three more people felt the earthquake. The rest of y'all was sound asleep. But we had one, and I woke up and I looked at the clock, and it was about 6 o'clock. I don't know, somewhere around in there. I don't know exactly what the official time was. 5 after. I think it was 6:03 when I looked at the clock. And boy, I tell you, I was laying there, and I always pray before I do anything else. All of a sudden, my house goes, and I thought, Lord have mercy, what was that? And I thought, my goodness, that was either an earthquake or my heat pump blowed up. I don't know, that's what I thought. I thought that heat pump has just blown up and shook my house. And I thought, well, surely, I thought Chris or Ashton downstairs slammed doors. I said, no, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And so I turned on channel 13. Then about 10 minutes later, sure enough, earthquake. Come on. But I'm telling you, you don't have to know that. You don't, I mean, you can read the Bible for 10 minutes. You say, well, something might have happened. Look, if you have an earthquake, if we have a real bad earthquake and it swallows us all up, you'll know it real soon. I mean, if it shakes your house down, you'll know it. I mean, just get in the habit of seeking God. Everybody make up your mind you're going to read the Bible when you first get up in the morning. Read your Bible, you lazy thing. Read your Bible, you ungrateful thing, you. You say, well, it takes all the time I got to get ready. Leave your eye makeup off and read the Bible for 30 seconds. Amen? And, most of you need plenty of it, but I tell you, you need more on your soul. You need more on your soul. You need more on your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, they are wise who seek to know God's Word. Amen? Number three, they are wise who try to understand God's will. Brother Derek was talking about God's will here a few minutes ago in Sunday school and doing a tremendous job. Young people, it's unlikely to the world and most religious people to know God's will. What is God's will for your life? Ladies and gentlemen, you don't even know. I'm telling you, you'll never know God's will for your life until you seek His will for your life. It's a good prayer for young people to pray, Lord, what is Your will for my life? Lord, I'm trusting You with Your will for my life. We're not smart enough to make our own decisions. We need His help. We ain't got enough sense to know a lot of times which way to go. We need His guidance. We don't have enough smarts of our own to be able to make right decisions. You need God. You need God's help in business deals. All you guys that trade and sell and buy and stuff, you need His wisdom for His will to be done. You're not that smart. None of us are. You say, well, I'm a pretty smart businessman. Not without the Lord's blessings, you're not. It's Him that causes you to prosper. It's Him that causes your work to be blessed. Everything you've got comes from Him. It's God that gives you enough brains to make the right choices. It's God that makes your crop grow. It's God that makes your garden come up. It's God. We ought to seek His will for our lives. Amen. We ought to seek His will. The Bible talks a lot about understanding God's will. You say, Lordy mercy, Brother Danny, I know people that do real good serving God till they meet somebody. And you know what I mean by meeting somebody. They may have a, I know women, girls, ladies that come in church and done real good for a while, and then they meet some old sorry, good-for-nothing guy. You say, how you know he's sorry and good for nothing? Because any man that'll pull you out of church and keep you from serving God is sorry and good for nothing. And I've seen a lot of them come in, get right with God, and then they meet somebody. And they say, well, I'm lonely. I just need a boyfriend. And the old boyfriend takes them out. Next thing you know, they ain't even going to church. Next thing you know, you can't even find them. Next thing you know, it works the other way too. I've seen it work both ways. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd be better off to be by yourself serving God than you be some redneck out there keeping you out of church. Like old Billy Kelly said. I like what Billy Kelly said. He said, I ain't never been on but one blind date. And he said, I wished I was blind when I got there. That's where you're going to wind up, amen. You'll wish you'd have never seen that sorry thing. You'll wish you'd have never laid eyes on them. One day, I've had girls come in my office and say, Brother Danny, pray for me. And I said, that boy don't go to church. They don't know. Yeah, but he said, I'm going to work on him. And I believe I can get him saved after we're married. And you know what happened? They disappear for about 8 years. And they come back in when they're 25 or 26 and got a baby on both hips and sit down and say, Preacher, we can't pay our light bill. Preacher, we can't. Brother Danny, I've ruined my life. I don't know where he's at. He's out running around at night playing cards and he's drunk and I can't find him. And it all went back to when she is 18 or 19 when she didn't say, I want God's will for my life. You're a wise person to seek God. You may think you're smart. You may think nobody can tell me nothing. I know what's best. But I'm telling you, you're a lot wiser to get on this altar and say, God, I want your will to be done in my life. I'm telling you, better listen to me. Number three, they are wise who can discern in spiritual matters. The wise people are people that can discern in spiritual matters. The Bible tells us a lot about discerning. They said Daniel Webster one time, the great, smart Daniel Webster was sitting at a table full of real educated men. The man was responsible for our dictionary. And Daniel Webster was sitting at the table and they told him, this man told him, they said, Mr. Webster, how can you believe in Jesus Christ? They said, how can you believe that He's both God and man? And Mr. Webster said, I can't figure it out. But he said, to have a Savior, I feel like there must be a Savior that I can't understand. But I accept Him. That's a wise answer. You know these smarty britches that go to get all their education and they say, well, there's no way He could be God and man. He was either God or man. He can't be both. They're not very wise. A wise man says, I can't understand it, but I know that He was God and I know that He was man. He wasn't God and man in two different personalities together. He was one God, one man. He wasn't half God and half man. He was all God and all man. Don't try to understand it. We accept that by faith. Hallelujah, brother. That's what Christmas is all about. And you are wise when you can discern in spiritual matters. Number five, they are wise who do the work of the Lord. The wisest people in the world are the ones that do the work of the Lord. Let me illustrate. You know what I mean by that? I mean this. I mean everything here is going to burn up. This wall right here, this pulpit, this carpet, this is all going to burn. Your house is going to burn. Mine's going to burn. Everything's here. All that we're going to be able to keep in a few years is what we've sent on and done for God. When you're laying on your deathbed, you're going to look back and you're going to regret a lot of things. But you're not going to regret everything you've done for Jesus Christ. You are wise this morning to put your time into the work of the Lord. I know how the world looks it up. You know what most churches do? Most churches, and I'm not condemning them for this because thank God they do. But most churches only do something special for kids at Christmas time. Thank God they do. I'm glad of that. I know churches that they take up shoe boxes and put shoes in them, and some of them go have a cookout in the neighborhood like we saw them the other day. So that's fine. That's great. I think that's wonderful. But you know what is great about our church? What we try to do? Every single week, we're helping young people try to find the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith and trust in Him. You know what we're doing? In the back of my mind, I'm saying, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, Lord, I tried. All of them might not have got saved, but we did try. All of them might not have heard the gospel right, but God, we tried. I'm not going to go to heaven and say, Lord, we spent all our money on a fellowship building and on trips for our kids and our mamas and that. Lord, we tried to reach somebody. I'm telling you, only thing you're going to keep when you get to heaven is what you've done for Jesus Christ here on this earth. That's it. Every tract you've ever given out, every time you've witnessed, every door you've knocked on, every single one, God's keeping a record of it. God in heaven, He knows. He knows every prayer you pray. Ladies, you at home at night, when you cry out to God for your husband and for your family, hallelujah, He knows it all. Amen. I mean, if you don't do nothing but clean buses. Yeah, I know I've had ladies in our church said, they said, Brother Danny, I can't go visiting. I have to work on Saturday, but I just want to come down on one night and sweep them buses out. We had a man that said, I can't work a bus route, but I just want to change the oil. You know, it costs money to have the oil changed. It costs money to have stuff done. I just want to do that for the Lord. This is my part that I can do. You're a wise man by investing in the Lord's work. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we're going. We're not going to stay here forever. We're going to die. We're going to pass off the scene. You're a wise person to put your work in the work of the Lord, your money and time and effort. I was talking to my brother Burrell down there the other day. I was talking to Teresa on the phone yesterday. Her mom's in extremely critical condition. My mom is bedfast this morning. She only gets up twice a day. Go to the bathroom. We have to help her. I see her laying there. I talked to Teresa and I talked to Brother Burrell. His mom's in the same shape. And I said, is that what we're all got to look forward to? That's where every one of us is going to wind up. When you look at it that way, it ain't that big a deal if you're the most popular kid in school. It's not that big a deal if you've got a bigger house than your neighbor. It's not that great a deal if you've got the newest car in the neighborhood. There ain't nothing wrong with having a new house, new car. I hope every one of you get one. I'm just saying there's more important things than that, folks. There is more important things. There's eternity waiting just beyond this grave. And the day's coming and your life's going to go by real fast. And the day's going to come and you're going to say, what really matters is what I've done for Jesus. Glory to God. I'm telling you this morning, I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret one of them times I've come in at 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't hardly stay awake. I don't regret one time I screamed my throat out trying to get people to get saved. I don't regret the time and money we put in the youth rally. I don't regret it. That's all that's going to matter one of these days. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad I got the privilege of preaching this morning. I'm glad I got breath in my lungs. I'm glad I raised my hands. You better raise them while you can. You better raise them while you can. The day's coming when you can't raise your hand. The day's coming when you can't holler amen. You better do it and enjoy it while you can. They are wise who do the work of the Lord. Number 6, they are wise who know the times we're living in. Who know the times we're living in. I heard all that hype all week long that Oprah Winfrey was going to come out and make a speech to endorse Barack Obama as the next president. Well, I heard all of that, so I thought, and they said she's going to be on the news last night, so I thought, I'm going to watch a little bit of that. And Oprah, she claims to be a Christian, I imagine. She claims to be doing a lot of good, and she does do some good. So that children, that girl's school in Africa and all that kind of stuff, she does help a lot of people. But she came out there, and I watched about 5 minutes of her speech, and she was taking some shots. She said, I have never come out and endorsed a candidate because this is the first candidate I ever felt like I should endorse. And I said, you mean tell me you ain't never found one candidate you could endorse? This is the first one. Talk about prejudice. Don't give me a break. And she said, we should evolve on this planet. And she said, he's the first candidate that understands our views. And she said, we are here on this planet to evolve. I'm telling you what this book says. This book says we are not on this planet to evolve.
You ain't evolving, you're devolving. Brother, you ain't going up, you're going down. This world ain't getting better, it's getting worse. Poor old Oprah don't know what she's talking about. She's deceived by the devil. Nothing evolves. Nothing changes from one life, one species to another species. And all. There's no such thing as evolution. To believe in evolution, you've got to be about half cracked. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, our purpose on earth is to prepare to meet God in eternity. There's a heaven, there's a hell, and our purpose. If Oprah Winfrey had got on there and said, we're all going to heaven or hell, prepare to meet God, I'd have said, amen, sister, right on. And if Barack Obama said that, I'd vote for him. You say, he's a Democrat. I'd vote for a Democrat that believed right. I can't hear you. I don't care if he's black, white, purple, polka dot, Democrat, Republican. If he'd stand for what's right, I'd vote for him. Amen. Hell, I know some people vote for the devil as long as he's a Democrat. That's right. Lord, I felt a little kick on that. Some of you people must be uneducated. I mean, don't you think we ought to vote for what's right?
Amen,
what's right, brother? What's right? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, they are wise who know the times we're living in. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, the Bible said there's men in there who understood the times. Who understood the times. What does that mean? They understood the day that they were living in. You know, we're living in a day. We're living in a day. Don't get me wrong. I'm not for war. I hate war. I'm sorry we're in a war. Lord, I wish we wasn't. But please don't misunderstand me. But I feel sorry for them people in Iraq. I've heard Christians say, bless God, blow them all to hell. Yeah, I don't feel like that. There's women and children in Iraq this morning. They didn't ask for this. They didn't deserve this. Their kids are just like ours. Jesus loves their kids just like He loves our kids. Jesus loves them women and innocent people in Iraq just like He loves us. If Iraq was closer, we would run a bus to Baghdad and try to get them to come. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Say amen right there. That's right, Brother Danny. I'm glad you're my pastor. I'm glad you feel like that. Say amen. Amen, brother. We might figure out a way to get a bus to Baghdad and bring some of them little boys and girls in here and tell them the greatest story ever told because Jesus wants them to go to heaven. I have no sympathy for the Taliban, for the Al-Qaeda, Bin Laden, all them. They need to be brought to justice. I think they're going to catch every one of them, give them the plan of salvation, give a chance, then kill them.
Amen.
That's what ought to be done for the good of their country. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, brother, I feel sorry for them. All that stuff I read in the Bible, in the book of Zechariah, just this morning, that God was going to take all that wealth over there. God's going to take all that wealth. It's no accident that all that oil is over there in that part of the country. Why did God put all that oil there? Why is the whole world swarming around the Middle East? Why is every time you turn on the news, it's Israel, Jerusalem, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran? Because that Bible said that Ishmael and Isaac and them guys would fight. They would always be enemies. They are the descendants of Ishmael. And when Abraham took Hagar, his concubine, and bear a child by her, that made Ishmael, and Ishmael is the father of Saddam Hussein, Bin Laden, and all the people in Iraq. They are half Jews, half breed. The real Jews are in Jerusalem and Israel, and the Bible said about Ishmael, he shall be a wild man, and every man's hand will be against him. Now you understand that now, and most politicians don't. I heard a politician on the radio, I forget which one of them it was. He was saying, well, we should go sit down and have talks. It's hard to talk with a wild man. You say, well, if we got rid of all our weapons, they would. You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. Let me show you what one of our members gave me the other day. You're talking about understanding the time. You know, a wise man understands the times. Look at here. This is something we've been saying is coming for years and years. I've been preaching this for 25 years. This is coming. Here it is. Pay with your finger. Biopay brings convenience.
This is the newest thing out. You can check it out on the internet at www.biopay.com. And now all you have to do is go stick your finger in. They get the prints off your finger. You got a 10-digit number, like your phone number. Mine would be 828-652-8082. That way they'll know it's you, and put your finger in there and touch a computer and pay for all your account. It was just a dream 10 years ago. In the year 2000, we said, it's coming, it's coming. Now it's out. They said, look here, for your convenience. That's the way it always starts. For your convenience. Three great reasons to use BioPay. Make easy payments, no checks, no credit cards. You don't protect yourself from identity theft. Nobody's going to steal your card. Nobody. All you have to do is, since your finger is unique to you, nobody can't steal your money. And BioPay is free, free to enroll, free to use at any time. BioPay is the most convenient and secure way to make purchases. Your finger acts as authorization and a debit or a checking account with all the simple touch of your finger. They are wise that understand the times that we're living in. The world thinks, there's not quite anything here now, y'all. You're doing good. You're doing good. Tell the difference? That's what prayer will do. That's what people praying will do. God's will. God ain't fake. I'm talking reality this morning. Preachers been preaching that stuff for 400 years out of that King James Bible. You say, well, a lot of people won't do that. You know, what will happen is there'll be a big emergency. And the big emergency is the rapture. And it's optional the first 3.5 years of tribulation. It's optional. But then when all hell breaks loose in the middle of tribulation, it becomes mandatory. It's just like a policeman and cell phone calls and stuff. You can't wiretap and stuff like that. There's a law against it. But then when there's a war, when there's not, then they can overstep those laws and you lose more and more and more of your liberties. You're wise if you understand the time we're living in. There is not, listen to me, there's not one scripture in the Bible that needs to be fulfilled to stop Jesus from coming this morning. That's the last thing I want to say this morning. I'm through. They are wise who are ready for the Lord's return. He's coming. Are you looking for Him? Are you living for Him? Are you waiting for Him? Some of you need to pray up. Some of you need to pay up. Some of you need to get on fire. Stand up. Some of you need to take a stand at work. Some of you need to give. Listen, you say, well, Brother Danny, if Jesus is coming, why are we working on that new church? We're supposed to work like He ain't never coming, but live like He could come in any second. He might not come for another year. I want to get in the new building and enjoy it for 6 months. Amen. I can't wait to run around the place and shout. I can't wait, brother, to see the crowds come in. I can't. Old Brother Burrell came in the other day. He was putting up stuff. He said, Brother Burrell, come in. He said, I smell something. I smell something. I said, was that glue or something? Was that plum? Ron done that plumbing? He said, no, I smell something. He said, it's souls. I said, glory to God, brother, glory to God. He said, I smell souls. He said, I can see this thing get done, and I can see souls getting saved. I said, amen, I smell it too, amen. I'm telling you this morning, we are wise if we're ready for Jesus to come back. What if Jesus come before Christmas? Is your life in order this morning? Are you ready? Young people, if the Lord come today, would you be left behind, or would you go with Him? How about it? They are wise who are looking for Him, who are living for Him, who are watching for Him. I close with this morning. You listen carefully. Somebody wrote this. It's not exactly scriptural, but it makes a point and drives the point home. Everybody listening. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. You need to come down here and get saved this morning. If you're here this morning and you have been saved, but you're not living right, get down here this morning if you want to be a wise man and get your heart right with God. You ready? It says this. Pray with that little boy, y'all. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house Not a person was praying. Not one in the house. The Bibles were left on the shelf without care, for nobody thought that Jesus would come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing their head. And Mom in her rocker with a baby in her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there rose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and lifted up the sash. And what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus is here. The light of His face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning. Look at me! Look at me! Just as He said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw Him in spite of myself. In the book of life which He had in His hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as He searched for my name. He said, "It's not here." And I hung my head in shame. The people whose names... Y'all look at me, please. All you people are here. Look at me. The people whose names had been written with love, He gathered to take to His Father above. With those who were ready, He arose without a sound, while all the rest of us were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I'd waited too long. I'd sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if I'd only knew that this was the night. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus surely is near. There's only one life, and when it comes the last call, we'll find the Bible was right after all. They are wise who are ready for the Lord to come back. Are you ready right now? Right now, Christian people, are you ready? I mean, boy, there's a strong spirit, God moving in here. Last week we had them all to pieces. This week they're coming to altar before I get through preaching. Somebody else needs to come. Somebody in here needs to move. Come on, Miss Desi. She's playing softly. We're going to sing in a minute. Somebody in here needs to get right with God. You've played around long enough. You've messed around long enough. You've acted like an idiot. You've done some things you shouldn't do. There ain't nothing out there going to satisfy you. There ain't nothing out there the devil's got going to make you happy. You need to just get it all right with God. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I'm afraid if I get right with God that I won't be able to live right." Don't you worry about that. You leave that up to Him. You leave that up to Him. You just put it in the... What if He's going to come in the next 30 minutes? What if this is the last message you ever hear? My daddy heard me preach on December the 23rd, 1990. He didn't know that was the last sermon he'd ever hear. Right before Christmas. I'm telling you.